We're holding on Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday a long braisa that goes through the details how we know the dinim that were mentioned in our, the first group of dinim that were mentioned in our Mishnah, namely that if one of the brothers is married to a woman who is an erva to another one of the brothers, the first example we had in the Mishnah was where Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter, and all the other examples that we had over there. The actual one that the Braisa is learning it from is Achos Ishtoi, where Shimon is married to the sister of Reuven's wife. Anyway, how do we know, first of all, that because of that, therefore, she's potter from Chalitza and Yibum from him? We don't say that maybe Yibum should override the Isser of the Erva. We also don't say she should have to do Chalitza. And how we know that applies not only to her, but also to her Tzara. And how we know that it also applies to the Tzara of her Tzara. So that we had a long Braisa that learned it, that learned it from a pastor. That learned it actually from a Gzeira Shava, then from an extra word in the Pasuk Litzro, and then from a Mamatzinu from that to all the other Arats. So the Gemara says, let's analyze that Braisa. Taima de Kosav Rachmana Aleha. So what are we saying? Because the Torah says the word Aleha, and we're using it for Gzeira Shava, where it says, by two sisters, by marrying two sisters, the Torah says you're not allowed to do that to make them a tzara one to another, aleha upon her, and then by yibum it also says yibama yavoi aleha. So that Zera Shava teaches us that even when yibum is involved, you still don't override the issur of achos ishtoi. So therefore, in the scenario where Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, We don't say that he should do yibum, even though it's his wife's sister. So time of the kasev rachmana aleha. Why are we saying that? Only because of that zera shava. Ha lav hafi, implying that if it weren't for that, if we didn't have that zera shava, have it amina achos should be yabemis. Then you would think that maybe indeed in that case of a wife's sister or all the other arayas mentioned in the Mishnah, maybe she should do yibum. Maybe you would say ordinarily it's an isur kares to have relations with your wife's sister, but maybe in this case, because the mitzvah of Yibum overrides that. Which would be my tanya, and we would say the reason for that is, we would assume by default that it should, damin and osi esse, the dochi lois esse, because we would say that the esse of Yibum overrides the lois esse of not having relations with your wife's sister. And same and similarly with all the other ones.
It's interesting, because Alea means specifically to that person and not to another category of person. Even if you make a Gzera Shava, it seems to contradict the word Alea itself.
No, the word Aleha means upon her, meaning the Yavama. No matter what, in any of these 15 cases, the woman is your Yavama. But the difference is, in one case, she's also your wife's sister, and in another case, she's also your daughter, and in another case, she's also your mother-in-law, etc. So Aleha is not mimayik any of those, because the fact is that she still is Aleha, that she still is the Yavama.
She's still the Yavama, but she's something else too.
Well, that's what we're saying, because she's something else, but the point is, the word Aleha is not mimayik that it means only one type of relative. At once she's a Yavama plus a Achos Ishtoi, or Yavama plus any of the other ones, then the same thing applies. We said we use a Mamatzinu, that we said that a wife's sister is one of the Arayas, and she is mutter to marry the other brother. She was mutter to marry him in the first place. For example, Shimon is perfectly allowed to marry the sister of Reuben's wife, and the same thing with all the other Arayas. The same way, it works the same way with all of them. As long as they were mutter to marry Shimon, then the same rules apply. Not only the Reuven doesn't do Yibum with them or Chalitza, but also their Tzores and also their Tzores Tzores. So the Gemara says, why? My time. Because an Esse overrides a Lois Esse. You would say the Esse of Yavama, Yavai Aleha, it overrides the loisese of isha lachoisa loisikach, and similarly with all the other ones. The logic behind Esen, so now this is going to get us into a long discussion, which is going to span the next couple of blat, about the whole concept of Esen Deicha Loisese, where we learn it from and when it applies and when it doesn't apply and so forth. So the basic idea why Esen is Deicha Loisese, so that Ramban talks about it in one place in his Pirush, that an idea behind it is, first of all, he says an interesting point. He says, you know, you find in the Aseres HaDibris, we know you have Zohar in the first Dibris and Shomer in the second ones, where Zohar is a Eser and Shomer is a Lois Eser. So all the other ones, you have different other minor differences between the first and second Dibris, but nothing as major as that, where an Eser is transformed into a Lois Eser. So therefore, we learn that there's a close relationship between them. And he goes on to say that the idea is, normally, why is a lois eser also? Because you're disobeying Hashem. Well, in this case, Hashem is telling you to do that, so therefore you're not disobeying Hashem, so therefore instead you should do the eser. At the beginning of the Geres HaTshuva, the Alter Rebbe makes a similar point using more Kabbalistic terms, that when you're doing a mitzvah saseh, you're bringing down a light from, you're bringing down a light of Hashem into the world, so it overrides a loisese, which would have been, again, a loisese is usually you're disobeying Hashem, but here, good morning, Moshe, but here Hashem himself is saying, go ahead and do that, and that way you'll bring down this light. Obviously, in the cases where we don't say Esa Deicha Loisese, for whatever reason, as we're going to go throughout the sugya, then obviously if you were to do it, you're not bringing down any light, because then you're not bringing down any energy from Hashem into our world with that mitzvah, because in that case we don't say that it's Deicha. But ordinarily we do say, or in many cases we do say, as we're going to say throughout the sugya, that Esa Deicha Loisese. So that would have been a reason to say that, for example, with Achos Ishtoi or any of the other Arayis mentioned in our Mishnah, you would have said the mitzvah of Yibum overrides the Isser of having relations with that person. Mind you, I mean, we were to the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak talks about only the first Bia is Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum. After that, there's no more mitzvah. So you would say, okay, you do the first bia, and then maybe afterwards you divorce them or whatever. But we would say that, and therefore the pasuk tells us with the gzeira shavu aleha and the mamatzinu and everything else, as we talked about before, that no, you don't do that. So the question is, emu damin and osi esa v'docha loisesa loisesa greida. But you know what? You have to consider that. When would you say Esa Deicha Loisese? You would say by a plain Loisese, the kind that doesn't carry any penalty, or the kind that carries a penalty of Malkus maximum. But Loisese Sheyesh by Kores Midochi, where would you have gotten the idea in the first place that an Esa should be Deicha Loisese that involves Kores? After all, Achos Ishtoi, like all the other Arayas, is Kores. So it's one thing, for example, we're going to talk about in the sugya, let's say, we're going to talk about now, for example, that you're allowed to wear tzitzis that have kilayim in them. Fine. Kilayim is not an isur kares. And the same thing with other examples that we're going to bring. But, where do you get the idea that it would have applied even to a loisese that involves kares, such that you need a zeta shava from the word aleha to tell you otherwise? Which Tosfos points out, now the Gemara could have started with that assumption. The Gemara could have started with that assumption to begin with. That maybe on the contrary, maybe you would say that without the gzeira shava from aleha, you would indeed say that it's not doicha an es a loisese sheyesh bekaris. And the aleha teaches us that in other cases where there's no kares, you are doicha. Because after all, the Gemara is going to go soon to figure out how we know esa doicha loisese. Why don't we say we learn that very fact from the gzeira shava of aleha? We would say the other way around. The assumption would be to begin with, says Tosfos, that by default esa, that when there's a lav she'ein bo kares, esa is not doicha loisese. You don't even need a pasuk for that because it should be so obvious. You're dealing with something that would involve kares. Then the gzeira shava comes and tells you that. On the other hand, by other cases where there's no kares, then it is. Why don't we learn that way? And Tosfos says, because in that case, then we would have used the Gzeira Shava the other way around. Okay, the Gzeira Shava could then teach us that maybe in this case, maybe we are Doicha Alav Sheyesh Beikardes, and we would say that we do Yibum in this case. So therefore, we have to start with the assumption that by default you could, and only that by default you could, and even by a lavsha, even maybe by a lavsha yesh bekaris, and then we're saying that now because of the gzeira shava aleha you don't. So now the Gemara is asking what made us think that in the first place. Tosfos also points out when you get down to it, a brother's wife in general is an isur kares, and after all, you're able to do yibum. So why don't we say from that alone, you see that you can be overriding a lav she'en b'karis. Okay, Tosfos says, because the fact is there's no other way to do the mitzvah. The very mitzvah of Yibum requires overriding that iser of Eishes Ach. That doesn't necessarily show that we should be overriding other lavim in connection with that. Doesn't mean when you say Eser Doicha Loisa says, we're going to go throughout the sugya, it can be even where there's two lavim. So without the Zeta Shava from Aleha, that's what we would have said. But now we're figuring out how we know anyway, where do we get the basis of saying that it should be Doicha, such a lav, such that we need such that we should need the Zeta Shava from Aleha to tell us otherwise. And before we even get into that, before we get into how we know that it overrides a lav sheyesh beikaris, with the exception of this, Loises said, "Greater Manol and Adafi." First, let's deal with the question: Bichlal, how do we know that Esa Doicha Loises said? As much as we brought reasons before why it should, those are very nice drasha dika reasons, but we still need a source in a pasuk to tell us that an Esa should be Doicha Loises at all. Which then we would say, once we have that concept, Esa Doicha Loises, then we would say that we need something to teach us that it doesn't apply in this case. And the answer is, so the Gemara is going to deal with the first question, with the second question first, and we'll get back to later on in the sugya how we know that ordinarily it would apply even when the original lav involves karis. So dichtiv lois silva shatnes dilim tasalacha. The pasuk says back to back two sukim in kiseze. Don't wear shatnes, and then it continues make for yourself dilim, which is fringes, which is tzitzis. So we have smuchim. So we see that they're back to back. We're talking about those two things. But Amar Rav Elazar, smuchim min haTorah minayin. And Rav Elazar says, where do we see a pasuk that tells us the idea that we can darshan things like that of smuchim, where it says one thing in a pasuk, and then it says right next to it, it says something else. Now, this is, by the way, not exactly the same thing as a hekish. A hekish would be where the Torah itself is comparing two things. But by mentioning them, by saying this one is like that one, or by saying that one common din applies to both of them, or something like that. Here it's just in Parashas Kisetze, you have a bunch of seemingly random mitzvahs, one after the other, and two of them are like this back-to-back shatnez and tzitzis. So how do we know, says Rav Elazar, that such a method of darshaning is valid? Shenema, because you have a pasuk in Tillim. Smuchim la'ad la'olam. In Kapitel Kuf Yud Aleph, it's talking about the greatness of the Torah. Masa yodav emes u'mishpat ne'monim kol pikudav. Smuchim la'ad la'olam. So smuchim, the simple meaning of smuchim means they're well upheld. They're supported. In other words, every mitzvah has a good reason behind it. But the Gemara is darshaning that the word smuchim also means adjacent. The word samuch means adjacent. So smuchim la'ad la'olam, they're adjacent. Forever, la'ad la'olam are two words that mean forever. Asuyim, the emes v'yasher, the mitzvahs of the Torah are made with truth and with justice and with right and with righteousness. So we see therefore the concept of smuchim. So now, in other words, so there is an example of esa doicha loisa, namely that even though there's a loisa not to wear kilayim, but there's an esa to wear tzitzis, and therefore, so in particular, now we're going to discuss later on in the sugya that you don't always say that you can wear kilayim but tzitzis. It has to be that the only way of accomplishing the esa would be by violating the loisa, namely if you have a linen garment. And the tzitzis, as we're going to talk about later on, the tchelas has to be made out of wool. The definition of tchelas is dyed wool, is wool dyed blue. So then you have to have kilayim tzitzis. Doesn't mean that in other examples you would just be able to do that. But anyway, the point is, so there's an example of esa doicha loisa. And by the way, the Gemara brings another example of smuchim that's more directly relevant to our Masechta. The Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Elazar, Mishum of Elazar ben Azariah. Minayin liyivama shenafal lifnei mokashin. Suppose that you have a case of Yibum, as we're discussing in our Masechta. Suppose that the Yavam, suppose that the brother who's supposed to do Yibum is a mokashin. He has a skin disease of some kind that makes him repulsive. She doesn't want to be married just to a person in that condition. So how do we know she'ein chos minosa, that we don't muzzle her, we don't tell her, tough luck, you have to do Yibum with him because he is, after all, your Yavam and there's a mitzvah of Yibum. How do we know we don't tell her that? So she'nemar, lo sachsem shor b'dishoy, because the pasuk says, also in Kiseitze, don't muzzle an ox while it's threshing, which is the din that while an animal is working for you on something involving food, you're not allowed to muzzle it. You have to allow it to eat from whatever it's working on. The samachle, and the next pasuk continues, ki yeshu achin yachdav, when brothers live together and one of them pass away, then you have the mitzvah of Yibum. So the fact that it says lo sachsein, back to back with the concept of Yibum, teaches us this concept of ein chosmin, that we don't tell her to be quiet and tough luck, you're going to have to marry him. Instead, so Rashi says that actually we force her to do chalitza, and we force him rather to do chalitza to her. He might say, well, I want to marry her, but she's saying I don't want to. So therefore, so Rashi says we would be forcing him to give her chalitza, so she's mutter to marry anybody else. We're talking about it here where he's a mukashim, and therefore, so objectively, we can see that it would be repulsive for her to marry him. When you have other cases where for whatever reason Yibum can't be done or won't be done or whatever, there is a machlokas aposkim. That's brought in the Ramah and these halachas about whether you force him to do chalitza or not. The Ramah says, practically speaking, nowadays we generally don't force people to do chalitza. We try to talk him into it. We try to even maybe mislead him into it. For example, telling him if you give her chalitza, then she'll pay you a lot of money. And then afterwards he does the chalitza and she doesn't pay the money. Different things like that. In principle, api halacha, there are cases where you'd be able to force him. But in practice, it's tricky. So if you do it wrongly, then the chalitza is invalid. So therefore, in practice, they try not to do that.
Just one more question about smuchim.
Sure.
So smuchim is two psukim next to each other, and hekesh is in the same pasuk.
Hekesh is not necessarily in the same pasuk, but hekesh is where the Torah mentions a din, and then adjacent to it mentions another related din. Smuchim is even when the dinim are not on the face of it related. There's no relation on the face of it between shatnez and tzitzis. There's no relation on the face of it between loisachsan and yavama, and yet we're saying we learn that something of one applies to the other, or that one overrides the other, or whatever. A hekesh would be more when the Torah, it doesn't even have to be in the same pasuk, but it has to be that the Torah is comparing them, or that the Torah is mentioning a din about one of them, and then a related mitzvah, and then we learn from one to the other.
And neither of these you can derive by yourself?
Right.
They're not kamachomer.
Well, smuchim maybe you could, actually. We're going to talk about that in the sugya. A hekesh you can't, right. A hekesh you have to learn from your Rebbe, yeah.
One more question.
Yeah.
Today,
yeah,
you cannot wear shatnez with tzitzis because you don't have tchelis.
Right, so that's what I was saying before, is when and we're going to talk about in the course of the sugya. The sugya extends over a couple of blocks. Yeah, nowadays that we don't have tchelis, not only you don't have a heter then to wear wool tzitzis in a linen garment, because you could just as well use linen, but in fact, even in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about that even wearing a linen garment itself with linen tzitzis is really not so simple, because then you may come to put wool tzitzis in it, whatever. So in practice, I mean, nobody makes linen tzitzis anymore. You have wool tzitzis, or you have wool, or you have cotton. Cotton is not necessarily chayav jat minatorah. That's another matter. But we're talking about a video strictly minatorah where you need tchelas. Yeah. So anyway, so the point is that so there you have another example of smuchim between leisachsim and the yavama. The Amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says in this connection, Afilu l'man d'loy darish smuchim ba'alma. Now, even Tanoim, who hold that throughout the first four Chumashim, you do not darshan smuchim to learn halachas, the Mishnah Torah darish. Even that opinion would say that in Mishnah Torah, which is Chumash Devarim, you would be darshaning smuchim. This one about Shatnez and Kilai, this one about Shatnez and Sittis is in Chumash Devarim. So is the one about Lois Tatsam and the Yavama, for that matter. So even that opinion, so everybody would agree to those smuchim that we just said, for example. And the Gemara, and Rabbi Yosef continues, I'll prove it to you. Daha Rabbi Yehuda ba'alma loy darish. After all, Rabbi Yehuda in general does not darshan smuchim over Mishnah Torah darish, but even Rabbi Yehuda we see does darshan them in Chumash Devarim. Now, what's a reason to distinguish between the other Chumashim and Chumash Devarim? So Hagoris Ma'arav Ranshburg brings something from the Ra'avan, or one of the Rishonim, who says that the reason is because the rest of the first four Chumashim were dictated word by word from Hashem to Moshe. So therefore, so Ein Mukdam Ma'uchah B'Torah, sometimes we have things in the Torah that are out of order, so you can't necessarily, according to Rabbi Yehuda, learn anything from the order in which they were given. As opposed to Mishnah Torah, Devarim, is Moshe's speech to the Jewish people. He says one thing, and then he says another thing, and so forth. So therefore, so why did he put them in the order that he did, must be for Droshes, and therefore we can darshan smuchim according to him. The Maratz Chayes says something similar, but in different Osius, he says that the rest of the Torah, you have Machloikas, so the Gemara mentions the Machloikas and Gittin, whether the rest of the Torah was Megillah Nitna, was it given piecemeal over the 40 years, or whether Chasuma Nitna was given all at once. If we say Megillah Nitna, well, certainly Chumash Devarim is not, Chumash Devarim is all one thing that Moshe spoke in the last days, but in the last 37 days before he passed away. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you can doubt and smoke him there. So there is a source then for Esther. Dei Chalosa said, because we're saying that you can wear tzitzis even though they contain kelayim. Tosfos points out, we don't say the other way around. We don't say, that you should say, well, tzitzis is not doicha kelayim because of that. Because in that case, we wouldn't have needed the smuchim at all. Of course, we would know. If you can't wear kelayim, we wouldn't have had a reason to think you would make an exception for tzitzis. And therefore, if the Torah is telling you smuchim, that it must be in order to create such an exception. So the Gemara says, over Alma Menolim Deloy Dorish. Well, how do we know that in the other four Chumashim, Rabbi Yehuda does not Darshan Smochim? And then how do we know in turn that in Chumash Devarim he does? So the Tanya, then as I Omer, Nema Machshefa Loy Sechaya. Here's another example of Smochim. This one from Parshas Mishpatim. It says, Machshefa Loy Sechaya. Don't allow a woman, for that it applies to a man also, but it was more common for women to do, to practice kishuv. Don't allow them to live. In other words, they have to be executed by Beis Din. Now, what kind of execution? The next pasuk says, Koshoshav and Behema Moisiumas. Anybody who has relations with an animal is put to death. So, Samchai Inyan Loi, meaning that the Torah is making a smichus over here. Here is an example of smuchim. Ma Sheikhim and Behema Beskila. A person has relations with an animal, then they get skila. Which we know that because the pasuk elsewhere tells that explicitly, well not explicitly, but it says elsewhere that a person who does that mayhem bomb, and we learn from a different din, from Oyvan Yidoni, that mayhem bomb means skila, because there the Torah says it explicitly. So just like Sheikhim and Mehema get skila, Machshefa the skila, the same way a Machshefa also gets skila. So we learn it from the smichus, says Ben Azai. I'm a loy Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't learn it that way. What are you telling me? Because the Torah put two mitzvahs back to back, therefore we should give this person skila. Skila, after all, is the harshest of all the four mitzvahs based in. That's not a valid reason. Fine. Machshefa lo tzchaya means you have to execute her or him somehow. Doesn't necessarily mean that that's a valid way of learning that should be skila. So rather, Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree that it is skila, but I don't darshan it based on smuchim. I have a different way of darshan it. The answer is like this. We have a general mitzvah in the Torah that says not to do kishuv. And then you have more, and in our pasuk, you have a general thing where it says that a person who does kishuv is put to death. Now you have a specific one where the Torah says about a particular kind of magic that it's chayiv skila. These two types of black magic, were part of the general category of Mechashvim. The Lama Yotsu, so why are they singled out? The last pasuk of Parashat Kedoshim says that a person who does Oivo Yudoni, for Evan Yugmo Oisam Dmehem Bom, we give them Skila. So why are they singled out from all the other kinds? Lahakish Lahem, here we have an example of a Hekish. So here we have a Hekish, which is not even things that are back to back, but rather this Hekish is more like a Mamotzinu. Of the loy malach, so it tells you ma oivid only this skila af machshev of the skila. So just like oivin yud only, the Torah clearly says get skila the same way all the other kinds of kishuk. So when it says machshev of loisachaya, so now we understand that way that it means skila. So this is an example. Rashi points out you have among the yud gil midas is kol davar shahoya b'chlal the yotzim in a klal lamed, where you have something that was part of a general rule and then the Torah singles it out and says a particular din by it loy lamed al asma yotza. So it doesn't come to teach us only about itself. El lamed al klal kula yotza. It comes to teach us about the entire klal of which it's a part. So since oivin yud oni are part of the general category of kishuk and it says the specific thing by then, it applies to all the other ones as well. Tosfos Yeshanim points out, actually, why don't we say the other way around? Adrabba, we have another one of the Yud Gimel Midos is Davar Shayu B'chlal, the Yotza Lidran B'davar Chodosh, where there's a new rule stated in connection with it. We say, Iyata Yocholach Zidr L'chlaloi, just the opposite. You can't put it back in the Chlal, Ad Shiach Zirenu Akosav L'chlal B'fedosh, unless the Torah explicitly said that. So why don't we say the same thing over here? The Torah is telling us Davar Chodosh, by Oven Yudoni, that they get Skila, maybe it applies only to them. So Tosfos Yeshanim answers that, what's an example of that latter rule? What's an example of Le'as Alidim Davar Chodosh is, for example, by the Asham Metzora, normally an Osham, the blood of it is caught in a Mizrach and sprinkled on a Mizbeach. Here the Torah by the Osham Metzora, instead the Torah tells us that some of it is caught in the blood, in the hand of the Kohen, and he applies it to the Metzora's ear, thumb, and toe. The difference is, Tosfos Yeshanim says, that kind of concept, you don't have such a thing by any other Osham. So therefore, that's called Davar Chodosh. And therefore, we would say that if it weren't for the fact that the Torah didn't tell us that that Osham is otherwise treated like other Oshamas, you b'chlal wouldn't know that the blood of it is sprinkled on the Mizbeach at all. But over here, it's not that we're saying Skila by Oivin Yudoni, and there's no Misa mentioned by any of the other kinds of tissue. There is Misa mentioned, it just didn't say what kind. So therefore, that's the kind where we say lo lamed al asma yotza, el lamed al klal kula yotza. And then Tosfos Yeshanim goes on to explain another reason for it as well. It's not a davar chodosh because by default, where the Torah says misa, usually it means chenek. So now we're saying yes, there is misa, but it's misa of skila. So that's not called davar chodosh because it's just adding to explain the misa. A type of misa, rather than creating something new like it does by Hashem Metzora. So now we understand a little bit better about the mechanism of how two of those Yud Gimel Midos work. So Rabbi Yehuda says that is how we're learning Skila for Mechashev, not from the Smuchim that Ben Azai says, because Rabbi Yehuda says I don't hold that you can use Smuchim like that, but rather because of Davar Shayu B'chlal V'Yotzim Aklal Olam. So now, over Mishnah Torah Manolam Nedarish. Now, how do we know in turn that even we said before that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in Mishnah Torah, that in Sefer Dvarim, you do use Smuchim? How do we know that Rabbi Yehuda to hold that? So just now, this is something that we're going to learn later on in Amisakta. Noise Adam Anusas Oviv Futas Oviv. Now, we know a man's not allowed to marry a woman who was ever married to his mother, to his father, regardless of whether this woman is his own mother or regardless of whether it's just another wife of his father's. Either way, she's an heir to him. However, that everybody agrees to. It says so clearly in the pasuk. However, what if this woman was never married to his father? What if his father raped her or seduced her? Or likewise, I'm no sasbadoim or potasbadoim. Or the same way, if his son, again, we know the Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with your daughter-in-law, but what if it's not the daughter-in-law? What if she and your son were never married? He raped her or he seduced her. So the Mishnah starts by saying later on in the 11th or 12th perek of Amasechta, that you would be, the 11th perek, that you would be allowed to marry her. because the Torah only says you're not allowed to marry your father's wife or your son's wife, and this is not a wife. Rabbi Yehuda Oisteban, Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with an anusa or mafuta of your son, but not an anusa or mafuta of your father. Even though she was never your father's wife, nevertheless, that's still also. The Omer of Gidol Omer Rav, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? So, Dichtiv, this we learn from Smuchim. Dichtiv, lo yikach eshes eshes aviv. Well, first we have a pasuk by itself. Then we're going to get to the smuchim. Dichtiv, lo yikach eshes eshes aviv. A man is not allowed to marry his father's wife. The lo yigala knaf aviv. He should not uncover the konaf. Literally, a konaf means a corner of a garment. So like a skirt, he shouldn't uncover the konaf, the covering, the skirt of his father, which means konaf shara aviv lo yigala. This is the edge of the clothing that his father saw, he himself should not reveal. In other words, if his father had relations with a woman, to uncover the konaf is a figure of speech, meaning to have relations with her, so that lo yigala, the pasuk is saying lo yigala knaf aviv, the son is not allowed to have relations with her either. So now, umimai d'banusaksiv, so how do we know specifically that refers to an anusa? Maybe in fact, according to the Yehuda, maybe in fact it refers to only when he married her. So the answer is that we have from smuchim, mi'ilove dekra. That we know from the previous pasuk. Because the previous pasuk talks about a case where a man rapes a naira, Moirasa. There is a Schi of Nissa, but we're talking about she's a naira, but she's not Moirasa. Where there the Pasuk says he has to pay a fine and he's forced to marry her. The Pasuk says, V'nosana ish, ha-sheikh of imal avi anara chamishim kosef. He has to give her father 50 shkolim. And then the samach lo yikach ish for them. Then right after that, you have this pasuk lo yikach ish. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says there is the smuchim where we say what is the knaf aviv that you're not allowed to have relations with is the one that your father seduced or the one that your father raped actually. So even though it's outside of marriage, nevertheless the din still applies. So we see Rabbi Yehuda holds of smuchim in Chumash Devarim. V'rabbanan. Now, what did the Rabbanan answer to that? If the Rabbanan hold of smuchim in the rest of the Chumashim, no question they hold about it in Mishneh Torah. So why don't they agree with this Dirasha? They say, I have a samachle, if it was exactly back-to-back, kidka'amit, then sure, fine. Hashtu delay samachle, but it's not actually samach, dichtivlo, yukak ishas ishas ovid bintayim. Because if the next pasuk had begun right away with lo yigala knaf aviv, then yeah, we would agree to the smuchim. But you have the first half of the pasuk, lo yikach ishes ishes aviv, where there it's clear that to ishes aviv means his father's wife. So therefore, now when the second half of the pasuk says lo yigala knaf aviv, and you, Rabbi Yehuda, want to say that that's referring back to the previous pasuk, no, it doesn't work that way, say the chachamim, that's not how smuchim works, because you have in between a different topic that it talks about. So therefore they say, v'shemeres yavam ha'kakos v'nagaber, therefore they say what the pasuk is talking about with the word lo yigala knaf aviv is not talking about where his father raped or seduced the woman. There, in fact, the chachamim say the son would be allowed to marry her. Rather, v'shemeres yavam ha'kakos v'nagaber, the pasuk is talking about where this woman is a shemeres yavam to his father. A shemeres yavam is, we're going to talk about that term throughout the Masechta, is a woman who needs yibum or chalitza, but it hasn't happened yet. So she's waiting for it. Shemeres, she's waiting for it, but it hasn't happened yet. So if you look, if you have the diagrams there that I sent you the other day from Mari Yavamas, then you can look. You have over there diagram 29. I mean, I don't know if we're getting a diagram, but it's pretty straightforward. But whatever. The point is that the father's brother was married to a woman. The brother passed away. The woman is up for yibum. She's a shemeres yavam. Now, If Reuven's son Chanoich were to have relations with this woman, then the lav or all of the shnei lavin, then he's over on two lavin, because anywhere there's a lav of having relations with the shemeres yavam in general, whether she's biologically related to you or not, and or related to you in some other way, and here In addition, she's also knaf aviv. She's also, so again, the Chachamim say knaf aviv does not mean a woman that your father had relations with outside of marriage. It means a woman who is waiting to have relations with your father, namely that she's a shemeres yavam. So if you now go and have relations with her, then you're over on the isser of that the Yavama is not allowed to marry, is not allowed to have relations with anybody else, as well as also the special isser of lo yigala knaf aviv. So we see therefore that even Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with the concept of smuchim in other chumashim, uses it in chumash devarim, and even in fact uses it in a way that the chachamim don't even agree with. So the Gemara asks, Mishnah Torah, my time is darish. Why indeed does Rabbi Yehuda hold that in Mishnah Torah specifically you should darishin smuchim? So one reason is yibari semim v'shem demuchach. One, because it's very blatantly obvious. Because it's very obvious that the Torah put these things back to back in order to darshan them. Otherwise, what are they doing specifically in that order? The Yiboyisema, Mishum de Mufne. Another possibility is because it's Mufne, because it's extra. It didn't have to say it Bechlau. Meaning, Yiboyisema, Mishum de Muchach, you can say one reason is because it's very obvious, because the Imkain, if in fact there was no need for the Smuchim, then Lichtevir Achmana Gabi Arayas. After all, the main place where the Torah talks about Arayas is in Parashas Achrei Moisim Kedoshim. If, in fact, this is talking about another category of Erva, the Shemeres Yavam of his father, as the Chachamim say, then it should say it together with all the other Arayas. The fact that it doesn't, says Rabbi Yehuda, is coming to teach us Smuchim. The Iboy Seim Meshum De Mufni. Another possibility is Rabbi Yehuda says that here we darshan Smuchim because it's Mufne, because it's extra. Meaning, the imkem lichter rachmona lo yikach ishas eishas aviv v'lo yigala kona. Because the Torah didn't have to write the word aviv in both halves of the pasuk, it could have said a man is not allowed to marry his father's wife, and he's not allowed to uncover the skirt. And we would understand what skirt we mean. In other words, a woman that his father had been with. Aviv lomali. Why does it have to add the word? Why does it have to add the word aviv at all? Or Tosfos says it a little differently. The fact that it says lo yigala without a vav, so therefore it implies that it's referring back to the entire pasuk. It's not two separate dinim the way that the Chachamim are saying. So lomali. So why would I need that? Shmamina lafnuyi. Therefore it means that it's extra, and therefore it teaches us this concept of anusas aviv, which in turn he's learning from Smoit. Tosfos says actually that maybe. It's not even that Rabbi Yehuda would only say smuchim on these grounds, only in Mishnah Torah. It's just in Mishnah Torah, it's very obvious that they're there. It's very obvious that they're there for a drasha, because otherwise the mitzvah would have been given in one of the four previous chumashim, or that it's always mufna. But maybe indeed, when there are smuchim in other places in Chumash, where it's also very obvious that it's there for that, or it's mufna for that, maybe the Yehuda would agree that you do darshan smuchim. Whatever the case, the point is, that's how we see that Rabbi Yehuda darshan that. So now going back to our original thing at the beginning of the sugya, we mentioned that there's a smuchim between kilayim and sittis, and that teaches us the concept of Eser, Jecholois Eser. So now Rabbi Yehuda necessarily is going to agree with that as well. Begabit Tzitzis Nami. Right? Tzitzis also, Rabbi Yehuda is going to have to agree with that smokin. Iboy Seimim Meshum Demuchach. Again, one reason would be because it's very obvious that it's there for a Zerosha. The Iboy Seimim Meshum Demuchna. And another one, because the words in the Pasuk themselves are extra, and we would have known the din, and we would have known the din without certain extra words in the Pasuk. Namely, we can say it's because it's very obvious. Again, because what is it doing over here in the middle of Parashas Kisete? What is this concept of Tzitzis doing over there? The imken lichtiv rachmona gavi Parashas Tzitzis. After all, we have a Parashah of Tzitzis in Parashas Shlach, which we say every day as part of Krishma. And the Torah could have easily written the words Gedilim Tassalacha over there. Instead, it has it in Parashas Kisete, next to Loi Silva Shanes. So therefore, it becomes very obvious that it's there for Jerusha of Smokin. So even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree with that. Tosfos points out, it's not like the whole Pasuk Gedilim itself is extra. The words in the Pasuk Gedilim Tassalacha, actually later on in the Sugya, we're going to darshan it phrase by phrase, and we're going to learn many dinim of tzitzis from that Pasuk. But the point is, it didn't have to say it right there, where it could have just as well said it in the Parasha of Tzitzis. So that's one reason for Rabbi Yehuda to darshan smokim. The barisem mishum de mufna. Another reason is because even if we forget about the placement of the pasuk in Devarim rather than in Bamidbar, you also have within the pasuk itself there are extra words. Mechti kotev uveged kalayim shatnez lo yala alecha. We already have in Parshas Kedoshim where it says you're not allowed to wear shatnez. Lo silva shatnez lomali. So why do I even need the mitzvah repeated again here in Parshas Kisese? Shmamin alach nuye. So therefore it comes, therefore obviously it's mufna, and therefore obviously it's there for the drasha. Therefore Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree to that, so that you darish and smuchim, and therefore that results in the general concept of eser, doicha lois eser, just like tzitzis overrides kilayim, so also an eser, doicha lois eser. So the Gemara continues, what do you mean? Hani mitzrach tzrichi. What do you mean? The fact is we do need both psukim of that talks about shatnez. Both the one in Kedoshim and the one in Kisese are both teaching us details about the dinim of shatnez that you wouldn't have otherwise known. So you can't say either of them is extra. The e kotzer rachmona lo yala alacha, the one in Kedoshim which says that shatnez should not come up on you, if we only had those words, haba min a kol derech halal otzer rachmona, then you would have said that the Torah is asking to have shatnez upon you in any way, meaning even, for example, a person who's selling clothing. Now, a person who's selling clothing, one way of doing it that they would often do in those days is he would wear the clothing himself to model it for the customers. Now, let's say the clothing he's selling is shatnez, which there's no problem in that. You're allowed to sell shatnez. You're just not allowed to wear it. But he is actually allowed to wear it because, so Rashi says, because he's not having kavana to warm up by the clothing. So therefore, it's a dover shenim eskabim. Tosfos Yishonim and a number of the other, and the Ramban and a number of other Rishonim don't like that. They say, we're dealing with over here according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We're trying to say why Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, is going to hold of smuchim. And he holds in connection with Shabbos and in connection with other dinim that davar sheni miskaven is usur. So you can't say that according to him. In fact, according to him, a clothes seller should not be allowed to wear it. So rather, they explain that we're talking about not where he's not having kavana, but where he's not in fact getting any benefit from the clothing. Namely, for example, let's say it's a heavyweight suit, and he's wearing it during the summer, so he's not benefiting from it. If he wore it during the winter, yeah, he'd be benefiting from the fact that it warms him up. But if during the summer, just the opposite, he's suffering from wearing such a heavyweight thing, and still he's doing it to model it for his customers. That's what we'd be talking about. But if it only said lo yala alacha, then you would think that would be also as well. Therefore, kasa rachmana lo silva shatnez. For that reason, the Torah has to also use the word lo silvash, implying dumya delavisha, the isbe hana. So it has to be that you're wearing it in a way like you normally wear clothing, namely where you have hana from it. So therefore, you need that one. The e kasa rachmana lo silvash, and vice versa. If it only said lo silvash haba amin adaptable visha de nafesh hana yasa, you would say, you know what, you're not allowed to actually wear shatnez when you're benefiting from it, because you get a tremendous amount of benefit. Your whole body is getting warmed from it. Maybe you would be allowed to, let's say, pull a piece of shatnez over yourself to warm like one part of your body, like use it as a blanket or something, and therefore cause about mono loyala alafa, and to tell us otherwise, the Torah has to tell us it shouldn't come up on you. So both psukim are necessary. So there's nothing extra. So fine, we can say the very fact that it mentions Gdilim Tasavacha out of its place in Tzitzis is reason enough maybe to say Smuchim. But we said another reason is because there are extra words in the Pasuk. Doesn't seem that there are any extra words in the Pasuk. It seems like we need all those. It seems like we need both Psukim. The answer is there still is something extra. Im Kain, if that's all it was for, that the Torah wanted to teach us these two things, you're not allowed to even have it come on you when you're doing it in order to have hana, but you're allowed to when you're not miskaven, as Rashi says, or when you're actually not having hana from it, as Tosfos Yishonim says, so that it would have been enough for the Torah to say lois silba shatli. Then fine, it could have repeated in Kisete, the issue of lois silva shatnez, but semer opishtim lomali. Why did it have to add the words that shatnez is wool and linen together? We know that anyway. Mechti kosev aveged kalayim shatnez lo yala alafa. It says in Kedoshim that you're not allowed to wear shatnez, and uses the word ubeged, a garment of shatnez. V'tonet v'eda b'shmol. So the v'tonet v'eda b'shmol says, how do we know that that refers to wool and linen? Hoyo v'nemru b'torah stam begodim. Since in many places the Torah uses the word beged, a garment, without specifying what it's made out of. And you have in one place the Torah specifies that garments means wool and linen, namely when it comes to when it comes to saras, then it says beged semer or beged pishtim. So therefore, so now we do again. It's like the dover shalib achlav yotzim achlav lamed that we said on Amud Aleph. So therefore, af kol semer or pishtim. Therefore, we know from that any place the Torah says the word beged always means wool or linen. So therefore, once it says beged kalayim shatnez lo yala alacha, automatically you know from that the definition of shatnez means wool and linen mixed together. So therefore, now in Kiseite, when it says semino pishtim yachdav, those words are extra, and therefore we can say we use them for smoking. So I call semino pishtim. Therefore, semino pishtim to kasher achmana lomali. So why would the Torah have to specify in Kiseite the words semino pishtim if we already know from the dinim of Tzaraas that beged means semino pishtim? Means shmamin alafnuye. That means that it's there as extra, and therefore it's available for smoking. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Ba'akati itzich. Still, you could argue that maybe you still need it because, tafadat hachamina, you would think like this. After all, we distinguished before between halah and levisha. Halah, where you're just, for example, putting a robe or a blanket of shatnez over you versus levisha, where you're actually wearing shatnez. So maybe you would say, tafadat hachamina, without the pasuk specifying it, you would have thought, halah, hidalei nafashana asa. You know what? When it comes to halah, when it comes to, for example, spreading over you, let's say, a blanket over you or over part of yourself or whatever, then you would say, you know what? You're not having very much hana'ah from it. So fine. Then the Torah is asking you only wool and linen together. Aba levisha de nafashana yasa. You could still argue that maybe you would have thought that when it comes to wearing, which where you have more of a hana'ah from it, called tre mini osa rahmana, maybe when the Torah says shatnez, you would have thought that it meant any two materials mixed together. So maybe you wouldn't be allowed to wear clothing made out of, let's say, wool and cotton together or something. And therefore, kosev rahmana, and kosev rahmana semer pishtim. And therefore, to forestall that, the Torah says the word semer pishtim to make you realize that the only kind of shatnez, the only kind of mixture that's kosher for either, even for levisha, is in fact semer pishtim. So if we figure it that way, then there is in fact no extra word in the pasuk because we need that in order to teach us that the definition of shatnez is the same for halah and for levisha. The answer is, we can't say that way. Im kain, lishtik, krominei. Still, the pasuk didn't have to say the word semer pishtim. The tasty shatnez, mahalah. We could have learned by Zeta Shrava on the word shatnez from the other pasuk in Kedoshim. And we would have known that the definition of shatnez is semer pishtim based on Tonad Veda Bishmal's concept that every time it says beged means semer pishtim. So therefore, in other words, we could have done like this. The word beged means semer pishtim. It says a beged kalayim shatnez lo yava alacha, so therefore that means the definition of shatnez is semer pishtim. And how do we know that that applies not only to halah, which is what's talking about in that pasuk over there, spreading over you a blanket made out of shatnez? How do we know that it also applies to lo silbash? That we would know from the gzeder shava of the word shatnez. So we don't need the word semer pishtim to tell us that. Therefore, the word semer pishtim is extra, and therefore we have it available for the smuchim. Okay, but the Gemara says, let's consider this from a different angle. The Tonad Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, now let's see, the Tonad Dvei Rabbi Shmuel had said that since it says beged in one place, it specifies that beged means seminal pishtim, therefore the definition of beged throughout Torah is seminal pishtim, so timer to kasa rahmana, seminal pishtim. So we're saying, so far, we're saying only because it says the extra word, semer pishtim yachdav, in connection with the, and then back to back, it says that about tzitzis, only from that are we learning then, we're saying that you're allowed to wear kelayim and tzitzis. Implying that if it weren't for that, kelayim and tzitzis have amina de osa rachmana, so implying that if it weren't for that smuchim and the word semer pishtim yachdav that are there, you would have thought that it is also to wear tzitzis with kelayim. But, Without that, you would have thought the Torah does in fact ask you to wear tzitzis that are kelayim. The problem with that is, obviously, tzitzis necessarily need kelayim for a different reason. The pasuk says you make for yourself tzitzis on the corners of your garment. We just said that the definition of begadim means only tzemer upishtim, which in fact, by the way, this gemara is what leads the Rambam to say, this and other gemaras lead the Rambam to say that only tzemer upishtim are chayev in tzitzis daraisa, all other materials are chayev only derabanan, which is why we try to wear woolen tzitzis, because that way we're definitely mekayim the mitzvah on a daraisa level. If you're wearing cotton tzitzis, for example, maybe you're not mekayim on a daraisa level. Anyway, So we know that the God means semer opishtim, and the Omer Achmana Ovid like tchelas. Now the Torah is telling you that you have to have tchelas as part of your tzitzis, or tchelas amrahu, and we know that tchelas is wool dyed with the tchelas dye. So necessarily, therefore, even without the extra words, even without any kind of smuchim, we would know that you can wear kilayim and tzitzis. Otherwise, it would be impossible to ever wear a linen garment and put tzitzis with tchelas on it. And the Gemara says, "Umi ma'id tchelas amrahu." Let's back up a second. How indeed do we know that tchelas means wool? Maybe tchelas, in fact, is dyed linen or dyed some other fabric dyed. So the answer is, we look at the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna are made of tchelas va'agoman selastroni and sheish. Now midish sheish kitna. Now what are tchelas va'agoman etc. and what is sheish? Sheish means linen. Rashi explains, based on other Gemaras, like this. The Pasuk says that when it comes to the Michnasayim in particular, it says that they're made out of bud, Michnasay bud, sheish moshter. So we see that bud and sheish are two different names for the same fabric, and bad, Rashi refers to a Gemara in Yuma that says that it means linen, because bad means alone, and linen grows in single stalks that have the fibers in them, as opposed to wool is not really single fibers, because you have several fibers in one hair. So we know from that sheish is linen. And therefore, since the Big Day Kahuna are made only out of wool and linen, therefore it follows the other ones, Tchelas Agom and Tchelas Shoni, the implication is they're all the same material. The only difference between them is the color. Then therefore of necessity, if Sheish is linen, then Tchelas and therefore the other one must be wool, because otherwise you don't have wool, and we know from a pasuk and Sefer Yechezkel that implies that the clothes of the Kohanim contain wool and linen, with the exception the pasuk is saying over there about the clothes of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which are linen only. So midashesh kitna, by elimination, since sheish in the Big Day Kahuna means linen, as we just learned from the word bad, therefore tchelas amrahu, therefore of necessity tchelas means wool. So therefore, we're left with that since tchelas necessarily is wool, and on the other hand, the Torah is saying alkanted b'gdeim, where beged means semer or means wool or linen, necessarily you have to be able to wear kelayim and tzitzis. Otherwise, how would you ever be able to wear a linen garment of four corners and put tzitzis on it? So the question is, why do we need the smuchim at all to tell us that you're allowed to do kelayim with tzitzis, when just by the fact that the Torah is telling us to put tzitzis, al kanse vigdehem, and vigdehem includes linen garments, and the Torah is telling you to put tchelas, which as we just said necessarily means dyed wool, so automatically then you have kelayim over there. You don't even need the smuchim to tell us that. And the answer is itzrich, we still need it. Because otherwise we would have thought that maybe the way it works is the way Rava says. The Rava Rami, Ksiv HaKonach Min Konach. Now you have like this. The Torah tells you put tzitzis on the corners of your garment. Uchtiv, Tzemer Opishtim. On the other hand, we had the word Tzemer Opishtim in connection with Kilayim, implying that tzitzis can be made only of tzemer opishtim. Ha ketzad. So what does that mean? Tzemer opishtim poitron vein b'minan vein shaloi b'minan means that wool tzitzis or linen tzitzis will pass through a garment, whether they're the same nin or not. So in other words, so without that, you would, so without that, with only the word hakana, you would say a linen garment necessarily needs linen tzitzis, a wool garment necessarily means wool tzitzis, but you can never do kilayim. So, and Rava is telling us that it means that wool and linen patter for each one, for any kind of clothing. So they patter ben b'minon, ben shelo d'minon. They work whether it's the same min or not. So therefore, you can use wool tzitzis on any kind of beged and your yotze, and you can use linen tzitzis on any kind of beged and your yotze. Shar minin, but the Torah is implying, says Rava, that other kinds of fabrics, other kinds of threads, the minan poitrin, the shaloi minan ain poitrin, they only patter their own min, not a different one. So for example, cotton tzitzis, let's say, you can't put cotton tzitzis, let's say, on a garment made out of wool or made out of polyester or whatever, and the yotze, you would have to use tzitzis that are of the same material as it, except for tzemer or pishtim. So now, if we went like Rava, then without the word tzemer or pishtim, then we would say like the way Rava is darshaning a konaf min konaf, means that only wool can be used for wool and only linen can be used for linen, and you would say, okay, so linen you don't use tchelas, so maybe in that case tchelas means dyed linen. Therefore, we need the word tzemer or pishtim to tell us otherwise, that you could use wool tzitzis on a linen garment complete with tchelas. So again, therefore. We need the word tzemer or pishtim to tell us that. Otherwise, we wouldn't know that concept at all. The question is, v'altana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel lesfei d'Rava. But what do you mean? You can't use Rava's explanation to teach us what Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel was saying. They necessarily disagree with each other. Because in fact, Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel holds that only wool and linen are chayiv and tzitzis b'chlal. They would hold that a cotton garment is not chayiv and tzitzis, because they say that beged means only tzemer or pishtim. Rava's drasha is assuming that other kinds of begadim are in fact chayiv and tzitzis, and you have to put on them either wool or linen or their own min. You can't put, for example, polyester tzitzis on a cotton garment. So Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel necessarily disagrees with Rava. So you can't use Rava's explanation to explain what Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel needs the word tzemer or pishtim for. The answer is still itzrich. The answer is we still need, even if we don't use Rava's drasha, you don't use his full drasha, but maybe you have a deal within his drasha that they would have to consider. Without the word tzemer or pishtim, you would think at least we're going to go so far as taking the word hakonaf. Rava, after all, is pointing out the word hakonaf. The corner means that the tzitzis have to be similar to the corner. At least Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel would have to agree with that diuk in the pasuk. V'hachikam rachmana, ovid le'tzemer le'tzemer pishtim le'pishtim, and therefore we would say, the Torah is telling you, a wool garment, you have to make wool tzitzis. A linen garment, you have to make linen tzitzis. V'chi avidah tzemer le'tzemer, and furthermore, if you're using wool tzitzis on a wool garment, Sabe, then you have to dye one of the swings tchelas, and that'll be your tchelas in the tzitzis. I will tzemer l'pishtim l'pishtim l'tzemer loy, but you would think that if you're using wool tzitzis for a linen garment or linen tzitzis for a wool garment, then maybe not. Maybe you just don't do tchelas at all. Katzer Rachmana, tzemer l'pishtim, da'afilu, tzemer l'pishtim l'pishtim l'tzemer. Therefore, by saying the word tzemer l'pishtim, the Torah is telling you regardless, or tzemer l'pishtim or pishtim l'tzemer loy would mean that you can't use wool tzitzis on a linen garment at all, and you can't use linen tzitzis on a wool garment at all. Without the word tzemer l'pishtim yaftav, that is what you would think. Hakona means that the tzitzis always have to be the same material. Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel says we're limiting ourselves only to wool and linen, because unlike Rava, they say that the other materials are not chayiv and tzitzis at all. But they would say, so Tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel would say then, within wool and linen, without the words, loisko bashatnez, without the words, tzemer pishtim yaftav, you'd say, we focus on the word hakonaf, so it would mean linen has to have linen, wool has to have wool, and when would you have tchelas? Only if you have wool tzitzis, and wool tzitzis can only be on a woolen garment. So Aval Semela Pishtim or Pishtim Semeloi. You wouldn't know from that that you could put wool tzitzis on a linen garment and have trelis in there. You wouldn't know that you can put linen tzitzis on a wool garment and then the tzitzis strings themselves are partly wool, which would be the which could be, and that the tzitzis strings themselves would be Pishtim together with trelis in them. Kosev Rachmana Semela Pishtim, and therefore you would say that is why the Torah uses the word Semela Pishtim, dafkil it Semela Pishtim or Pishtim Latsemer, to tell you that you are even able to do that. You're allowed to put linen tzitzis on a wool garment, and vice versa. So we still need, according to them, the word Semela Pishtim to teach us that din. So now we're saying that we need those words Semela Pishtim to teach us. And teach us a din in tzitzis. We don't need it to teach us about the din of kilayim, the fact that kilayim itself consists of shatnez, consists of wool and linen, because that we could have learned from Gzeira Shava. So rather, the words Semer Pishtim are teaching us a din in Hilchos Tzitzis, which is the next pasuk, and there is our smochim that you're allowed to have kilayim in tzitzis. So now we'll continue. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, on Matzah Shabbos. We'll continue that according to the Rabbanan, they b'chlal disagree with the premise that begodim necessarily means semer or pishtim. They hold the word beged is not limited to only those. So they need the word semer or pishtim to teach us that kalayim is only semer or pishtim. So therefore, they're going to have another source for the fact that esed jericholoy says there, which is what we got into this whole sugya for.